Well, I want to thank you folks for being here tonight. You're the faithful, and you came to endure my talk. So anyway, normally I like to pick somebody out of Judges, because those folks are usually just average people that God used to do big things. And I was looking through Judges, and I think I've used up just about all of those people in my speak talks and everything. I thought about talking about Tola, but there's only two verses in there about him, so I didn't think that would last very long. But anyway, as I looked through and tried to ponder what I was going to do, I picked out Job. And Sandy says, "Why did you do that? That's the hardest book in the Bible to teach on." And I didn't know that, so it doesn't make any difference whether it's hard or not. I'm still going to try. We're not going to talk about the full 42 verses, I mean chapters. We're just going to talk about the first chapter of Job. And there were some things that I saw in there that I had some questions about, and some things in there that interested me. I use Dr. McGee's, J. Vernon McGee's commentary on most of this stuff, so that's where I'm coming from mostly on this. But first of all, we'll just read the first chapter. "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and eschewed evil. And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him himself put not forth thy hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabins fell upon them and took them away. They have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I have escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'A fire God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons, thy daughters, were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Okay. Now, there was a couple of questions that I had, and they're somewhat answered in this. But in the introduction, Dr. McGee talked about the many things that people were to say that this book was about. Issues of why the righteous suffer, written to rebuke the slander of Satan against mankind, written to reveal Job to himself, to teach patience. But he thinks the main part of it was to teach repentance. Now, he contends that God selected the best man that ever lived, except Jesus, to teach repentance. And I thought to myself, well, I guess he's right there. He says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God. You know, that's a pretty good reputation, especially when it's written down in the Bible. He said, then he pointed out that no matter how good we are or how good we think we are, all of our righteousness is as filthy as filthy rags in God's sight. We all need to repent, no matter how great we are or how good we are, or and so he says that the main character of the book is about Job's repentance. And I read towards the back of the book. We're not going to go there. And no, he's right. I can vouch for him. But anyway, I was reading through the first chapter, and he points out that nobody really knows when this was written, or where it was written, or where he lived, or who wrote it. There's about four or five different people. But he gave some insight into this. He says the historian Josephus gave us a glimmer of light on the location. He says in Genesis 10:22-23, Uz is listed as a son of Aram, a son of Shem. And then he says in Genesis in the same scripture in that area, he says Uz is the firstborn of Nahor, who was Abraham's brother. So I guess this Uz was Abraham's nephew, kind of like Lot. Okay, Josephus tells us, and now we're all aware of who Josephus is, right? Okay, Josephus tells us that Uz was the founder of the ancient city of Damascus. And he points out that Damascus is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. I didn't check his facts, but I'm hoping that they're right. And so he contends that Job lived somewhere in the Syrian desert, which, I mean, I guess that's entirely possible. So we know about where Job was at the time, they think that it was during the time of the patriarchs, but nobody knows for sure. This is all conjecture. Anyway, I always wondered, you know, I never did do a study of it or anything like that, but I always wondered why, you know, God let Satan, you know, do this to this righteous man. And then I also wondered, well, he had 10 kids, and they all basically got blown away in a storm. And, you know, why did that happen? I mean, I just wondered about that. And one thing that Dr. McGee was talking about in this commentary, and I guess in Job 1:5, let's see. Okay, and so it was when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered a burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. The thing that interests me, this is McGee speaking, is that he didn't feel he needed an offering, but he felt that it was, that he felt like he was right with God. But he thought that maybe these sons and daughters weren't as close to God as they should be, so he offered sacrifices for them. You know, and that gives me a little bit of a clue into in my thinking as why they might have been included in some of this trouble. I notice here later on in the verse it talks about when they had their problems and when they were taken, they were all eating and drinking again. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking, but I thought it was kind of strange. They didn't say that they were out in the fields tending anything or doing any work. It seemed like most of his children's time was taken up having a good time. But, I mean, that's just my take on it, and so, and for what that's worth. let's see. Another thing that I thought was interesting that I had never thought about before, about when Satan was talking to the Lord about how Job was an upright man because God had blessed him and nothing had ever bothered him. He said to Satan in verse 9, he said, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that has blessed his work of his hands and his substance and the increase of the land? Evidently, you know, Satan had thought, well, this would be a good guy to get a hold of, but God put a hedge around him. He was a believer. And doesn't the Bible teach that God puts a hedge around all the believers? I mean, we have protection in God. And I thought that was interesting. I mean, of course, he was upright, and I'm sure that I'll never get mentioned in any passage or anything about how upright I was, but Job was somebody because of what he was, and I thought that's interesting. He had a hedge around him, and all believers have a hedge around him. So that was something I had never thought about before. Let's see. And I'm missing one of my notes here somewhere. Well, maybe not. I don't see it. So, pardon me.
Did you write it on the other hand?
No, I don't have it written on my hand. It's not between my fingers or anything like that. Okay. Verses 20 through 22. After he heard all the bad things that had happened, how he had lost all of his possessions and all of his family and everything. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And, you know, I got to thinking, you know, the Lord, God never promises the Christian a perfect life, and everything's going to go smoothly. And, you know, when you think of things that happened to you and happened to other people. I mean, you know, I think about the situation with Mom. Mom had a stroke. You know, and you think, why did that happen? Well, why not? Strokes happen to people. Why should she be exempt for any reason? You hear of, you know, folks that, well, like Grace, and she had cancer. You think, why her? You know, well, why not? I mean, why would she be different than any other person? Things like that happen to people, and it just happened to her. It's just how you react to the circumstance and the problems of the time. I mean, Job reacted. You know, he lost his family, lost everything, and he praised God. You know, Mom had a stroke. I mean, I haven't praised God for it, but at the same time, I'm trying to see what God has for us during this time. I've watched Sandy take care of Mom, and I think see how loving and caring she is towards her, and I think, you know, I just thank God every day for her and for giving her to me, and how good she's been to Mom, and, you know, and what a blessing she's been. And I knew that all along, but it's just brought it out more. And I was thinking, you know, that everything we have, everything we own, it all belongs to God. Everything. You know, my house, my old piece of junk car, you know, everything that I have, my property, my health, everything is God's. And, you know, we're going to have to stand before God and tell Him sometime of how we took care of His possessions that He let us have for a while. And, you know, just all of this first chapter just brought it all home to me. You know, it's just that Job had questions later on, and Job repented later on for some of the things that he did. But at this point, he didn't sin. He blessed the name of the Lord. You know, and I wonder, would I be able to do that? I would hope that I would, but, you know, would I be able to do that? So, anyway, that's the first chapter of Job, and that's what I have for you tonight.